Welcome back to the Godly Young Men Podcast. We are on episode 70. Hard to believe. Feels like just a few weeks ago we were doing episode 50, but are 20 episodes beyond on to episode 70. Appreciate you joining us for this week's episode. I'm going to give Joe full credit. This was his idea, and I'm very excited to get into this episode. I think it's going to make for a very interesting, kind of a fascinating episode. Might not seem like it based on the title, but we're talking about motivations, and specifically motivations for guys. What motivates you to do certain things? Are those things good? Are those things bad? Again, it's a very interesting topic for an episode, but I would say virtually all guys do things in their life, work hard, you know, do various things based on certain motivations. And we've got, I think, six total, you know, separate motivations on here. And what we're going to talk about and what we're going to discuss is basically, are these things healthy or unhealthy? Is it a healthy thing to be motivated by XYZ, or is it an unhealthy thing to be motivated by XYZ? And for some of these, it might be some aspects of it are healthy, some aspects of it are not. In fact, I think probably several of these that we have on our list, you can kind of go either way on maybe some elements of both. But again, as you think about a lot of these questions of why do we work hard? Why do we get up every single day? Why do we strive for greatness? Why do we push for these things? A lot of it comes down to our motivations. And I think what we want to come down on is what are, once again, healthy motivations to be fueled by and unhealthy motivations to be fueled by.
I think what you'll find is there's a, specifically for young men, but this is everybody. You look around in life, this is everybody. This is a struggle because we're trying to figure out our place in the world. And I think we can be motivated by all the wrong things in a lot of ways. So to give a quick example before we jump in, it would be something along the lines of like, maybe you went and helped Miss So-and-so with her groceries carrying it in, but the only reason you did it is because other people were watching and you knew that that was going to make you look good in a very basic level understanding.
Yeah.
You did a good thing, but the motivation there was horrible. So we can be motivated by a lot of different things. We're actually going to jump right in on this. The first motivator, and I see this a lot, and I've felt this myself, is guilt. Now, first question that you got to ask is, well, is that bad? Is that a negative one or is that a positive one?
Especially if it gets you to do what you're supposed to do.
Right.
I think about it in the terms of being a Christian. A lot of people got baptized. A lot of people became a Christian because of a feeling of guilt.
Yep.
You could argue in Acts 2 on the day of Pentecost. A lot of those people after Peter's sermon felt, I mean, it says they were cut to the heart, right?
You put Jesus to death. Yeah.
They felt guilty, and so that motivated them to do the right thing. And so when you phrase it like that, it's like, man, that's not really all that bad of a thing, once again, especially if you are guilty. And so, you know, in that case, they were guilty of putting Jesus on the cross. We are guilty of our sin, and therefore that propelling us to obey the gospel, that's a good thing. However, and I'll let Joe jump back in here, taking it out of the realm of becoming a Christian, is that always a healthy thing?
Yeah, I think exactly what you just said. They're taking it out of the realm of Christianity is where this starts to kind of go awry. Now, I will say there's a difference between guilt and shame. Godly guilt is exactly what you talked about. It's repentance. It's turning back to God. It's, I do feel guilty when I treat so-and-so XYZ, you know, in this way. Yeah, you probably should, right? I do feel guilty when I look at things I shouldn't. I do feel guilty when I say these words. You're supposed to. That's called a conscience, and that turns you back toward God. Shame, on the other hand, you know, guilt is I did something bad. Shame is I am bad and I'm broken. I can't ever, basically, I'm beyond repair. And so this is what Satan uses to keep us away from Christ. Satan's biggest lie is not that sin is fun as much as it's that you are too separate from Christ to even be worthy of him. Well, we're never too separated from Christ to turn away. Guilt is what drives us back. Outside the realm of Christianity, though, and of spirituality, guilt is where you feel you owe everybody everything. I just feel guilty that I let this person down. I feel guilty if I didn't do my chores and if I didn't do my homework and if I didn't get an A on the test and if I didn't come through in this way and if I didn't. And you always end up feeling guilty toward everybody and everything in life. You're just driven by, I'd feel guilty if I didn't do these things. That, in my opinion, is not a proper motivator.
Let me ask you a question, though, Joe, because as you're saying, guilty in the terms of letting other people down and you know, what are other people going to think? Is there not a level of having guilt about certain things and it only affecting yourself? Because to me, that's not necessarily a bad thing, just to give a stupid example. But whenever I eat something unhealthy, that's something that, I mean, every single time I eat McDonald's, which is like twice a year at this point, or drink a Coke, which is like once a year at this point, I just feel guilty about it afterwards, and that's not necessarily for other people. That's for myself, of like, I should not have eaten that package of Oreos. I should not have eaten that quarter pounder with cheese. I should not have had that Cherry Coke. Whatever it is. That is, to me, a little bit, and even, again, use a different example. Man, I didn't study my Bible today. I kind of feel guilty about that. There's still not really other people being involved sure. in that. It's still just kind of myself. So I guess my question is, would you say that's still unhealthy, or would you say that that's maybe not as bad of a thing?
It can be if it's taken to the furthest extent of yeah. you, and it kind of depends on, okay, I feel guilty about it. I'll just do better next time. Done. That was nice and easy. Yeah. Right? I feel guilty about it. There, I'm
not going to eat the Oreos next time.
I'm not going to eat the Oreos next time. Okay. Mission accomplished. That was probably a good guilt. But those that are constantly in a perpetual state of guilt are those that are feeling guilty about every last thing they do. Well, I could have done this and I should have done that. And boy, I wish I would have done that better.
Second guessing everything.
They second guess everything. And they live in a constant state of guilt. Well, I studied my Bible, but it wasn't long enough today. I only studied for 15 minutes. So they still feel guilty. Even though they got it done, they're still driven and motivated by guilt. And ultimately, it comes from, again, just this feeling that you owe even yourself or you owe everyone. You're constantly indebted to somebody else. I've been there. This is a struggle for me because it's like if I let down my clients, I'd feel guilty about it. It's not that I care about what they think as much as I made the commitment to help them. If I don't help them, I feel guilty. Mm-hmm. So it is still kind of me. I don't care what they think as much as I know what I committed to. This is when you spread yourself thin, you're overcommitted in a lot of ways, and you just feel guilty about letting everybody else down. This is not appropriate motivation. This is not a good motivation that you want day in and day out, where the only reason you get out of bed to go help other people or to go to your job or whatever else is because you feel guilty if you don't.
It's going to burn you out, I would say.
Correct. It does.
Yeah.
I can speak to that. It does very much burn you out. You have to ask yourself, what would happen if I let this down? If I drop the ball in this area, what would happen? And if the whole thing is I would feel like the worst person of all time and I'd feel really guilty. And if that's 15 things in your life, yes, you're going to burn yourself out because you are merely keeping the plate spinning just to keep the plate spinning because you're afraid. Basically, you're guilty. You feel guilty if any plate falls instead of going, maybe having 15 plates isn't good. Maybe I need to scale back down to 2 or 3 plates, in which case I can then kind of get into rhythm. But you start building and building and building, and guilt becomes the motivator.
So we spent a lot of time on this one. I think this one is probably pretty common. I think there's a lot to say on this one. I'm going to go ahead and move us into the second potential motivation.
It's also very common.
And that is fear. Fear of certain things. So for instance, if I don't do this, oh my goodness, what's going to happen? Everything's going to fall apart. My life's going to fall apart. My marriage is going to fall apart, whatever it is. And so doing things out of a motivation of fear, and why I'll just kind of give my take, and then I'll let Joe kind of give your thoughts and then take us into the next one. Why doing things out of fear is probably not a very healthy motivation either is because, once again, it's not giving you anything to look towards in a positive sense. And anytime, as again, staple of Joe's, if you're running away from something versus running towards something, you are going to burn yourself out. You're not going to look at life from a positive angle. You're going to be looking for the negative in things because everything is about fear. Everything is about looking over your shoulder. Like, once again, am I doing enough? Or, oh man, what's going to happen if this? Can you imagine living 85 years of your life with that's your motivation is fear? It's just not a healthy thing.
Yeah, no, this is from, as you already spoke to, you're afraid of letting other people down. You're afraid of failure. You're afraid of rejection. You're afraid of messing something up. You're afraid of messing your kid. You know, as a parent, you can be full of fear. I'm afraid to mess my kid up. I'm afraid that I'm not giving them the nutrients I'm supposed to. I'm afraid I'm not being the spiritual parent that I need to be. I'm afraid that I'm not setting them up for success in all of the, especially as a homeschool parent, in all the things that that we're teaching them. I'm afraid that they're going to grow up and choose bad spouses. I'm afraid. This is just in the realm of parenting. Think about all the other realms of life that you can get into where fear motivates you more than anything else. I'm afraid of losing my house, so I get up and go to work every day. Well, yeah, there is a certain level, again, that's healthy in that because, yeah, you might lose your house. If you're a bum, you probably should feel fear that you're going to lose everything. But if that's the only thing that motivates you day in and day out, time and time and time again, it creates, once again, burnout, where you're just sick of running from things. Like, I don't care at this point. Fear can motivate to a certain extent, but it's kind of the same idea as you're running from the bear. People can do amazing things when they're running toward a goal. They're running toward, and you say, well, the goal is survival. Yeah, but interestingly, we don't actually run as hard or as far. Maybe we run harder, but we don't run as far when survival's on the line. And so people do get tired, and then the bear ends up getting them. You know, it's just a phenomenon in our mind for whatever reason. Fear doesn't always motivate the way we think it does. And so having our life built around, what if I mess this up and, you know, everything might fall apart. It's all on my shoulders. And so therefore, there's a lot of fear if I let people down. once again, it's not a healthy motivation. I understand it. I understand where it's coming from, but it is not a healthy motivation that's going to continue you into the future without there being some recourse down the line, which usually is, again, burnout, or you get into vices.
Yeah.
You start running from all the things you fear into porn.
You run into, try to escape. Yeah.
You escape into vaping. You escape into, for young kids, stuff. As you get older, alcohol, drugs, you escape into...
Cheat on your spouse.
Yeah. I mean, it gets into really bad things because you're constantly afraid of letting other people down, or you're constantly afraid of what might happen if you're a failure in life. That's no way to live.
Yeah, so I'll introduce the third one.
You're introducing, I'm kind of taking over.
You're good. That's really good stuff. The third motivation, I would say, is a motivation to just prove people wrong. Mm. You know, kind of the chip on your shoulder. You know, I'm going to set out to prove people wrong. They said this about me. I'm going to prove them wrong. There's areas of this where that could very much lead to success. I know Joe's read both the book about Elon Musk and the book about Steve Jobs, where that very much was their motivation. I'll let you speak to that here in just a second. But they wanted to prove certain people wrong, and so that motivated them to be some of the most successful people that this world, this society has ever seen. You see that with athletes a lot. I think about a guy like Baker Mayfield, who is, you know, if you're not a sports guy, you're not going to know who that is, but he's a quarterback in the NFL, just took the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to the playoffs. He's not the most talented guy in the world. He's like 6'1". You know, he's not very talented athletically. Doesn't have the best arm. Can't run the fast or anything like that. He's built a great college career for himself. He was drafted number one overall. He's built a pretty good NFL career for himself. Not Hall of Fame or anything like that. But again, just took a team to the playoffs. He very much has that mentality of like, I am going to prove people wrong. Yeah. I've got a chip on my shoulder. And it served him very well. The problem with that is there's still some level of it where it is unhealthy. I would say, first of all, because you're still doing it for other people.
Yeah.
You're still doing it so that other people will look at you and go, man, I was wrong about them. They really did prove me wrong. It's still for other people. And I think it's still kind of a, I would say, running away from something. You're running away from other people's poor view of you. And once again, I just think it can also feed a very self-interested, a very, very arrogant mindset of, I'm just going to do it to prove them wrong. It's not the healthiest thing. What would you add to that?
Everybody saw The Last Dance with, or a lot of people saw The Last Dance with
Michael Jordan. Oh, yeah, Michael that Jordan. Propaganda machine. No,
yeah, sorry. Exactly. Exactly. From Michael Jordan and his buddies about how great he was. Great.
Talk about self-indulgence.
Yeah, no kidding. Break. But time and again, and to me, it was personal and becomes a meme online, right? But
and I took that personally.
And I took that personally. Like, you took everything personally, but it was motivating, right?
Yeah.
He just wanted to prove people aren't wrong. He had that chip on his shoulder. And if he didn't have one, he'd manufacture a chip on his
but
shoulder.
But can I make a point with that real quick? Because you're exactly right. What he's getting at is he turned into one of the greatest athletes ever because of that. I don't think I'm reading into this. He's also, to me, one of the most unhappy people of all
time.
He's
a jerk.
Yeah, you listen to his Hall of Fame speech where it's supposed to be a celebratory moment. He's very reflective. No, he's like was, you know, taking hit jobs out on people, like attacking
people. You
said
I couldn't do it and here I am.
Attacking people in his Hall of Fame. It's because he's not very happy. He's not happy. Right. He's still trying to prove people wrong. That's not a place you want to be in life.
Well, and that's exactly it, which is to every Michael Jordan story, to every Baker Mayfield story, to every Steve Jobs and Elon Musk story, there are 10,000 revenge fantasies where the person had a chip on his shoulder and it went wrong.
It didn't work out, yeah.
You heard those, but the person just ended up being a bitter jerk who is reliving his glory days, and we see a lot of this, reliving the glory days from college when they did feel like they were on top. And from then on out, life is all downhill, basically, boy. You know, it's never worked out. But they've always had this chip on their shoulder. It's not the fantasy you think it is, that they're one day I'm going to walk in the room and everybody's going to bow down and go, we were wrong. It doesn't work that way.
It does not, yeah.
It does not work that way. And even if they do, what do you gain? You proved them wrong, and you ended up being way more valuable than they thought.
Good for you, buddy. Yeah.
And then what? Right? We'll always have to ask the question, and then what? This was something my dad always taught me. Okay, so everything in life goes wrong, and then what? There's always a then, and then what, right? Everything in life goes great. They see that you have value. They see for the first time in your life, wow,
I was a jerk. They acknowledge. They were wrong.
They acknowledge. They come, and they bow down, and they apologize for treating you so poor. And then what? You tangibly gain nothing. You're not any better off for it. Wow, I proved them wrong. You didn't need them in the first place. So this whole thing, this motivation of I'm going to prove people wrong, no, I don't think it's healthy. I think it is still, to your excellent point, still making other people the focal point of your motivation, yeah. Hoping that they're going to see something in you. Why do you need them to? That assumes that you're giving the keys of the Ferrari to them. They get to drive your life. They get to determine whether you have worth or value, because if they don't give it, then I got to prove them wrong. And if they do give it, and then what?
Yeah.
Then what? Where do we go from here? So it cannot be about other people. This cannot be the motivation. I'll get us into the fourth and let you kind of go off on that
sure.
one. And that is the idea of feeling worthless. A lot of people, I would say, kind of start from a deficit where they already feel worthless. And they're motivated by just trying to find some level of, they just want to be worthwhile. They want somebody to see them as having value, but they feel very worthless. And so a lot of their motivation is, can I do something of value? Can I feel less worthless about myself? This is where addiction is, you know, is very, very
rampant.
Yeah. Rampant, exactly, is in a worthless feeling where you are always working from a deficit. You are assuming you're worthless and you're trying hard to convince yourself and others otherwise. You're trying to get them to see, wow, you really are valuable. And so this is where the tryhards come from. This is where the people that are, you know, they get walked all over, the chameleons that, or the Mr. Nice Guy, you know, just gets walked all over the place. Why? Because he really just wants people to see him as worthwhile. And his entire motivation is to stop feeling worthless. Not a good motivation.
Well, and why I think this is unhealthy is because to me, it's based on a false premise. The false premise is you're not worthless. Right. Think about everything God did for you. Think about the value God saw in you to send his son to, you know, take on the form of flesh, to live a life and, you know, here on this earth when he didn't have to die for our sins. Yeah, I'd say that shows that God places a pretty high worth on you, some pretty high value on you. And for you to come back and say, no, I'm just worthless. First of all, you know, this is a soapbox of mine. That's completely spitting in the face of God to say, I know you think that I'm worth it, but man, I just, in order to be the martyr, I'm just going to say that I'm not. No, give me a break. Like that's such a, in a weird way, it's an arrogant position to say that you know better than God, that you're actually worthless when he showed the worth that he has in you to save you from your sinful, despicable state. Yep. For you to turn around and say, no, I'm coming from somewhere that's worthless. Again, it's a false premise. And again, to me, it's kind of spitting in the face of God. And so, no, I don't think that's a healthy motivation at all because it's built on something that is not true. You have ultimate worth and ultimate value because of what Christ did for you. Again, for those of you who are Christians, for those of you who obey the gospel, you have ultimate worth in the eyes of God. And so don't be motivated from a feeling of worthlessness. I'd say that's one of the worst motivations that you can have because it's simply not true based on again, the way God views you and the value God has in you.
And the moment that you stop being worthless, the moment that you work hard enough to get out of worthlessness, then what? You got to keep it, right? Sure. You are either going to lose it or you have to maintain it. But there is no gaining it further. And speak of arrogant, how arrogant is it to think that you alone brought value to your life? That is something God and God alone can bring value to. So while I did all of these worthwhile things, I was Mother Teresa, and now I can feel good about myself. It's called works-based salvation, right? And that is you trying to create worth. And what does Isaiah say? All your good deeds are as filthy rags apart from Christ. So, apart from God. Without Christ giving us worth, you're nothing. And with Christ giving us worth, you're everything. Therefore, where do all your good deeds come in? We do those good things because you are worthwhile. So if the motivation is, man, I'm worthless and I got to do anything to make me not feel worthless, bad motivation. You're misunderstanding the gospel. Get us into number five.
Yeah, number five, doing things based off of, and I kind of had a hard time describing this, but kind of a greed, covetous, like I want status.
Yeah.
Basically, it's the guy that he wants other people to look at him and he wants their eyes to pop when they see how successful he is. Yeah, a little bit similar to the wanting to prove people wrong, but just more so, it's not about wanting people to be proved wrong. It's more so about, I want everybody's eyes to pop when they look at how successful I am. I want their eyes to pop when they see what nice cars I drive, what beautiful house I live in, how wealthy I am, just in general, how successful you are. Once again, what's the problem with this one? Your success, your joy in life is not based in anything to do with God, anything to do with yourself. It's based in what? What do other people think?
Right.
What are other people? And man, talk about the heightened level of unhappiness you are in life when every decision you make is based on what are other people going to think. The person who lives their life out of a motivation of, I just want to get to the top so that other people will look at me and wish that they were me. Again, the Andrew Tates of the world. Talk about a kind of a miserable life, to be honest. Talk about an empty life, a very futile life. That's the life a lot of guys live, is I want to get to the top and drive the nicest cars and have this net worth or whatever because I want other people to look at me and just to be absolutely wowed. That motivation is only going to get you so far.
It's that bumper sticker. He who has the most stuff wins. Wrong. There's no point that, you know, in accumulating all your wealth and your status
so
and everything else.
So that you can post it all on social media. Like,
right.
No, yeah.
So what? And then what? Like, your motivation has to be pure. It has to be something that we're going to get to in a little bit, kind of wrap up with what a positive motivation actually is in life. But to get status, we always come back around to like, okay, and then what? So you got status. Everybody thinks you're great. You may be the most famous person in the world. You may be the person that everybody looks up to. You think of somebody like Taylor Swift. Right now, every girl in the world seems
most famous, I would say, celebrity on the planet.
Yeah.
You could argue maybe Ronaldo or something, but
yeah,
you know,
I mean, that's true.
Certainly in America, Taylor Swift is
certainly in America and mostly around the globe. Taylor Swift is one of the, okay. So you become her and then what? Like your motivation can't be just to be her because she's miserable in a lot of ways. And she's a raging feminist and she's not going to be happy in her life. She's had a string of guys that all the albums are about. I mean, we're talking dozens of guys at this point. Like she's clearly not happy. And you go, well, she's probably happy with money. No, I don't think she is. I don't think she is. She is what we see with Ecclesiastes and Solomon. It's all futile. Yeah. It's all vain. Like, I got it and great. And that's, I would say Ecclesiastes speaks exactly to this motivation. So your motivation is to have status. It's this greed. It's this wealth. It's all vain and futile and going nowhere anyway.
Now, let me say this, just add a qualifier. I don't think it's wrong to seek success in life. I don't think it's wrong, especially as a guy. It's just kind of natural in you to want to be successful, to want to make good money, to want to have a nice job, to want to set yourself up well, set up your family well. That's not it at all. We're not here saying, right. You know, the poor, you know, being poor is better or, you know, strive to be poor. Nothing like that. Obviously, both of us are really trying to work hard and be successful and get, you know, make a good amount of money and all those things. It's once again, are you doing it so that other people will look at you and go, man, I wish I was him. Right. Man, I wish I was as rich as that guy. I wish I had his status. If that's your motivation, that's the problem. I'm going to go ahead and get us into the last one, though.
Yep.
Before I don't actually have it on the outline, but we're going to ask the question, what is a good motivation? What is a positive motivation? I know I've got my answer. I'm sure Joe's got his. We'll end with that. But real quickly, for the last kind of not great motivation we have on here is a motivation of pride, motivation of arrogance. And I'll be pretty vulnerable here. This is the one that I struggle with the most, of being motivated from this way of kind of like, I want to do things and I want to get to a certain level basically because I don't want to be a loser. Basically because I kind of want to be better than other people in some ways. And that's a problem. That's, again, a very prideful position to come from, to say, you know, I'm motivated by, again, just so that people will look at me and say, yeah, he's not a loser. He's clearly done well for himself. There's a level of that where I think that can be healthy, of like, hey, not wanting to be a loser, that's a good thing. But it's still doing it so that other people will say, okay, he's better than this person, or man, he's doing this, good for him. Not a great motivation either, because again, it's very self-focused. It's very prideful. It's very arrogant for you to have that motivation for whatever it is in your life, for whatever your job or your career or your success level is. If you're doing it out of pride, you're doing it out of arrogance, doing it so that other people will look at you, it's not a good thing.
With each of these, as you'll see, they all come from somewhere. They're all driven by some life experience, some underlying need that we have in life, a need for you to establish yourself. In my opinion, it makes sense. Your dad's your dad. Everybody knows your dad. You're looking to establish yourself not as a Harrop. You're looking to establish yourself as Will Harrop, right? As somebody, it's like, I don't want you thinking higher of me because of
family. I don't want to bum off my dad's last name.
Correct. You know? Yeah. So you're going to try to be the best you can be, and maybe that comes across as arrogant, whatever. You don't want to be a loser. You don't want to besmirch your family name, but you also want to make a name of your own. Sure. I think that makes sense. For me, guilt is a major motivator for me. I think I grew up in a house where grace wasn't taught all that much, and so there was kind of a hellfire brimstone, like, you need to do these things. Yeah. You got to do better. You got to push more. You got to go further. And in each of those, you feel guilty if you don't. You feel like you're letting people down, and that's just the way that my life was kind of established up to this point. So guilt is a major motivator for me. My wife and I have talked. Fear is a major motivator for her. She's got her own things in her past that kind of create that for her. Fear of being a failure, fear of rejection, fear of things like that. Everybody has things in life, and I guess that's what I would say before we get into the positive, that lend toward one of these things, or maybe something
maybe
we don't have.
Yeah,
maybe multiple, and maybe some things we don't have on here as to what motivates you as a man. What gets you out of bed in the morning? What causes you to do the things that you do? And as you spoke to, I mean, some of these, it's not all bad. Some of these have positive ends to them.
Not wanting to be a loser is a good thing.
Exactly. Yeah. Not wanting to be a loser. That's very good. You know, the man who can't provide for his own family is worse than an unbeliever. An infidel, I think, is how some translations have it, right? As Paul's talking about.
1 Timothy 5, yeah.
You don't want to be a loser. That's pretty positive. You don't want to be the guy. Like, there is a healthy level of guilt. There's a healthy level of fear. If I run out of the road, I might get it. Like, fear does motivate us. Where the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Like, fear can be a motivator in proper ways. So we come to, and I'm curious your answer.
I was going to say, I'll go first because I made you go first on a lot of these. Okay. And I'll let you. So I didn't put on the outline, but obviously an appropriate question we have to ask is, what is a healthy motivation? What is a good, positive motivation? And as I was thinking about it, for a guy, what is a healthy motivation for your earthly success, for your job, for your family, for all these things, for your spiritual life? It's going to sound super cheesy and super lame, but I think the best motivator is love. Mm. Why do I get up every single day and go work really hard at my job? I would say the main reason is because I love my family and I want to set them up well. I want them to be provided for. To me, that's a motivation out of love. Why do we do the things we do for other people? Hopefully, it's out of love for other people. Why do we want to get up every day and be the best Christian that we can be and reflect Christ the best we can? Hopefully, it's because we love God and we love Jesus. Again, pretty cheesy, cliche answer, but I think one of the best motivations you can have is do it out of love, because then where is the focus? It's not on yourself. It's on your family, other people, God. And even you could even say, why do you want to get up and be the best version of yourself? Because you do love yourself.
Yeah,
you want to love yourself. And so I think, again, whether it's God, whether it's your family, yourself, whether it's other people, love, doing things out of a love for them is one of the best ways that you can motivate. Again, I get up every day. Yeah, I want to be successful, but I also want to make sure my family is provided for. Why? Because I love my family. I do things for other people. Why? Because I love other people. I do things, hopefully, for God. Why? Because I love God. Yeah. That would be my answer. What's yours?
That's fantastic, man. Love and gratitude is what I have. Love and gratitude. We love because he first loved us, right? We're mm-hmm. grateful for what God has done. And so why do we act as a Christian? It is not because in some way we hold ourselves up closer to God, and that he's already made us righteous. As being made righteous, that's what I do, man. I love that he's done this, and I love God. I love Jesus for it, for what he did. And I'm so grateful for everything that he's done for me, that's what motivates my actions. That's what motivates me being a Christian. Why do I take care of my family? Because I'm grateful that I have a family. I'm grateful that my wife chose me. I'm grateful that God blessed me with kids, and I love them to death. So absolutely, my motivation ought to be, I love this. I love my job. I love getting to help people. Yeah. I love what I get to do. And yes,
and I'm grateful for it.
And I'm grateful for it, and I do love myself. I do. And this is something that I work on with my clients, and I try to work on myself, is most of the time, I hate to keep bringing up addiction, but that's just what I work in a lot. We don't like ourselves. We just don't like ourselves. And so when people struggle with porn or they struggle with the addictions that I work with, a lot of them come from loneliness. I just hate being alone. Why? Because you don't like yourself. Ultimately, you can't stand being in a room with just yourself and your thoughts and where it goes. And so you act out and you do all these other things. Learn to love yourself. Learn to have a motivation where it's like, you know what? I don't need to be the very best so everybody can see. I know who I am. I know I'm not the best, but I also know that I'm not the worst, and I know I can strive harder or strive more to be the best. I have it within me to try to be the best, and that's self-love speaking. You are worthwhile. You have it within yourself to be worthy of caring for, worthy of trying, right? So I do think love is it. I think you nailed it, and I think the gratitude of life, of recognizing what God has blessed us with and just being grateful that we get to show up to a job every day, getting grateful that we get to help our parents with our chores, being grateful for getting to make our bed in the morning just because we had a bed to sleep in. You know how many people don't have a bed to sleep in? So yeah, like you said, can be cliche. That can be, I know that every day I don't wake up going, wow, I have a bed and I get to make it. Maybe I should.
It's a perspective
thing. Maybe I should. It's a perspective.
I would challenge every single listener, every single watcher, if you're on YouTube, consider right now, what is your main motivation? Again, maybe it's a blend of a few, but like, what is your main motivation? Why do you get up and work really hard? Why do you do, you know, whatever it is you do in your life right now, whatever it is that you're passionate about, whatever it is that kind of dominates your life right now, why do you do it? What motivates you? And if it's any of the things that we talked about that could be looked at and be seen as unhealthy, challenge yourself to kind of change that. Again, that's going to be a hard habit to break, to be motivated by something different. But the first step would be to kind of accurately diagnose what are you motivated by, and then work towards being motivated by love and by gratitude rather than all these other things, guilt, fear, feeling worthless, arrogance, whatever it is. Again, it's a bit of a different topic for an episode, but hopefully it was enlightening. Hopefully it was something that, again, I think all guys are motivated by one of
all these motivated
things.
By something.
Everybody's motivated by something. Again, whether it's to feel needed, wanted, any of these things. And so I would challenge you, accurately diagnose yourself and then determine where is it in your life that you think you could improve when it comes to motivations. With, again, whatever it is that you're going through in your life, be motivated by love, be motivated by gratitude. If there's another one on our list another one that was not on our list that you think would have been a good addition, leave a comment, let us know. Anything else to add before we wrap this episode?
That was a great wrap. This has been episode 70, man, 70 of the Godly Amen podcast. Thank you for listening. We will catch you again next week.